Well, we're joined on the phone this morning by Lisa Steen Riggs, and Lisa is the manager of the Danish Windmill in Elkhorn. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you have in your hands these days what is a really interesting little tidbit about the windmill. Can you talk about the book that you've received?
Yes, we actually received the official mill book. And to explain what that was, and there's a Danish word for it, Møllebogen, but it is the miller's record book. And as you know, the windmill was built in 1848 in Nørresnede, Denmark, and it served for many, many years as a actual grinding mill. And the last day that it actually worked as an official mill in Denmark was in 1947. But the longest, we have a list of all the millers over the years that were actual millers of our Nørresnede windmill in Denmark. And Kristen Vestergaard was a miller from 1912 to 1947. It was like 35 years. And he kept fabulous records. We did not know this book existed till last year when a family member of the Vestergaards contacted us that they had the book and they wanted to know if we wanted it. Well, of course we did, but they wouldn't ship it. So I did have to go to the Denmark to market last week and was able to arrange a meeting with the Vestergaard family. And a Peter Vestergaard presented this mill book to us, and it is like 15 pounds. So I carried it all over Denmark. It was like precious cargo. But this book is so exciting. There is records in there from 1912 to 1947, and it lists every single farmer that brought grain to the mill and what type of grain it was and how much they paid and when they paid the miller. So it tells us a lot of history of our windmill, like what did it produce, and a lot of it was your regular wheat, rye, oats. They did cooking flour where it had been bolted, had gone through a sieve of some type. We think there was a little roller mill for the oats. We knew that there was a, they call it a grub stone, which means it's a stone that took the pearl off the barley, and which was very unique for Denmark. And we even have where he rented out a barn space. I don't know if it was for storage or for cattle, but he rented the stall. He also shows what he charged for labor, for grinding for these farmers. And it wasn't only farmers, it was the grocery store, it was the bakery. But we have all these names and all the records, and it's just, it is so interesting because, again, it's one huge book that's dated from 1912 up to 1947. And the other thing that's really interesting about it is the war years. Germany occupied Denmark, so that there's not much records going on. But from the many farmers I talked to in Denmark and showed them the book, they said that they remember their families going at night, if it was windy enough, to grind the grain to hide from the Germans. Cause I guess they weren't allowed to use the mills in those days. So there was a lot of stories that came out last couple days that we heard. And then we also heard the story that two of the Germans were so bored and they didn't want to be in Denmark. They wanted to be home in Germany, but they were bored in Denmark, so they would actually go at night and help the miller grind grain.
Wow.
Which I think is kind of interesting. So, you know, it kind of showed, too, that, you know, the Danes were very kind people, and they all worked together, and thought that was very interesting.
Absolutely. Well, and unlike today's type of records, this isn't computer-typed or even typewriter-typed. This is all hand-drawn.
Yes, and this miller had a good bookkeeping system. He has the old script, so it's a little bit hard. I'm getting used to now kind of understanding how he was writing. But, you know, he not only was a miller, he was a bookkeeper, he was a businessman, and he kept excellent records. And then also there's, like, government wax seals where his records were, like, audited, too. So there's, you know, wax seals in it. There's even a page where he spilled his ink. This is, like I say, a huge book. It's like 15 pounds, excellent condition. and we're very excited to get it because it does tell us much more history. When we bought the windmill, the town of Elkhorn, or the people did, they bought it from a retired newspaper editor, so he had not used it for 20 years when he purchased the mill and the house. And then over the years, we have heard from this Vestergaard family. We heard from them in 1990. They were having a family reunion, so we sent them a bunch of the windmill souvenirs. And then we heard back from them in 1992 thanking us. And then in 2000, they had another reunion, so I sent a bunch of stuff over to them. And then now, 2012, we hear they wanted us to have the mill book. So we're quite excited about it.
The Vestergaard family really kind of almost looks at the windmill like a member of the family, don't they?
Yes, I was just reading my old letters from them, and they actually thanked us for taking the windmill out of Denmark. They said it pained them when they would drive through Norrsnedda to see what a bad shape it was in when their father, great-grandfather and great-grandfather left the mill. In 1947, he left it in very good shape. In fact, it was almost a brand new mill because it had mostly burnt down in 1943. So it was a beautiful mill in 1947 when he sold it. And it, by my records, it looks like he was like, I think I was like 81 years old when he retired. So I'm sure it was because of old age that he had to quit. Otherwise, it'd still probably be used today. And then with modern machinery, they weren't using their windmills. So, you know, like you said, they were sad to see it falling in disrepair. And after this mill, you know, left Denmark, they did pass a law that no more mills could leave the country of Denmark. And I had found out who the man was that passed that law, and I had spoke to him several years ago and met with him because he was like the leading mill authority, this Anders Jespersen. And I met with him, and he said that it was a wake-up call for Denmark, that they needed to keep their mills and needed to get their mills in good repair, that they were historical landmarks. So in a sense, he said thank you to Elkhorn, which, if we can help out in that way, you know, we're pretty proud of that fact also.
You don't know what you have until it starts disappearing.
Right, right.
Well, Lisa, this really kind of adds a new dimension to the windmill's legacy, really, because now it kind of documents exactly what was going on there. This really kind of makes it, I hate to say more valuable, but it makes it a lot more interesting.
Oh, it does. And, you know, we spent years just trying to find the genealogy of the mill, who the millers were, who actually built the mill, and that's a story in itself, because it's almost like modern-day economic development when towns go to war to have an industry come into their town. Well, that's what happened back in 1848. There were several towns that wanted to, they had to get the king's permission, and they only allowed so many mills per so many miles, or as they say in their metric system. And so Norrsnedda went to war for it, you might say, and it was an interesting story. And we have that story documented, and then we have all the, you know, the owners over the years, but we didn't know what the mill, you know, we knew it might have had three sets of stones. We were still trying to find old insurance papers, but this definitely just opens up the door for us. It just makes it more exciting, and knowing that it was an actual viable mill, and it really did help the people in that area and all the farmers also.
And the family gave it to you, didn't sell it to you?
No, they gave it to us. In fact, when the man handed it to me, he could tell I was so excited about it. I don't know if he knew what he was giving us, for sure. And he goes, well, maybe I should bring it to Elkhorn and give it to you guys maybe sometime. And I was like, oh, I really want to take it with me.
Well, you're always welcome to come back and visit it.
Yeah, so we invited the family anytime that they want to come over, and we would like to have a big party for them when they do come. So. Another excuse to celebrate.
Exactly. Always a good reason for a party.
Sure.
Will this Miller's Record book become a part of the display then?
Yes, it will. And we want to make sure it's protected and have it the right archival files and everything to keep it from fading. Again, it's a very, very old book. And like I say, the first records were 1912. And just see, again, the warriors are just kind of interesting, too. And then to see these farmers' names, so if, you know, anybody came from the North Nita area or immigrated, you know, their grandfather's probably in here. And it looks like there's some women that they sold to, too, and they call them koopmen, which means a grocery store, you know, the bakery. So, you know, there's things that might help with genealogy, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great reference source and a great piece to have in the collection there.
Yes.
Well, very good. And folks can visit the windmill and the book if they'd like.
Yeah.
Pretty much any time, right?
Yeah. We'll take it out of the safe. Right now we have it in the fire safe. So.
Very good. Well, the windmill's always open. The gift shop's available. So lots of great things. And if you've never actually gone through and experienced the story of the windmill, well, this will be a great time to do it as well because it's now enhanced.
Right.
Great. Well, Lisa, thanks a lot for your time. And that's a really neat find. Good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.